Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples out here still grinding. Remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the Cummins, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
a penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible, I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible,
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right, y'all. Babakwa Tawab, which means good morning in the Paleo Hebrew, man. Welcome to the show. I'm your brother, as always, your friend, Tazapa, man, back in the building, back on, y'all. Good to be back on. Hope everybody is healthy, man, and feeling well. There's some new stuff out now, y'all. I don't know if y'all heard, but they say Hep C is coming back. I should have pulled the article up, man. Hep C is coming back with a vengeance, and for those that are unfamiliar, usually how you catch Hep C is by dirty needles, from sharing needles with drugs. I believe that's the main way you catch it. But now there are cases arising in children coming down with Hep C, and they're saying that children are picking it up from like regular viruses. Like a stomach virus or something like that. But they're saying that that it's basically caused from, you know, and how children are, man. We watch our kids. They put their fingers in their mouth and they touch everything. And I got to get on my daughter constantly about that, man. But they said that that is causing the spread of it, man. But who knows in the wicked era and the wicked time that we're living in, and I'm speaking, of course, of the things that they've been genetically enhancing, such as COVID, whatever they're calling it, COVID 19. But who knows this day and age? And I'm just saying this, man. And they said that it's I think they said, I gave a percentage, but they said it was a low percentage that your kid would get it. But just FYI, man, I was listening to the article on or the segment that they did on NPR about it. They just want to keep us informed, man, so we know to get on our kids about just washing their hands, which we should be doing that anyway, because our children, they be on this nonsense, this nastiness. This is why they need us to teach them as parents. And you can't be mad at them, because like the scripture says that folly is bound in the heart of a child, man, and that is also true. You got children, you know exactly what that scripture is talking about. But anyway, y'all, like I said, welcome to the show. Hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend, great Sabbath. We got a high holy day coming up, which is First Fruits, also known as the Day of Pentecost. I forget the exact date. Mashaba, if you got them, if you're listening, shoot them to me real quick. I'll let everybody know. And give me a second real quick, y'all. Hold on. All right, y'all, I'm back. I apologize for that brief delay, man. Running a little bit behind schedule this morning, man, trying to get my tea going for the morning. But I wanted to send shout out, man, to the brothers here in San Antonio, ISBATK, and send shout out to all our brother schools in VA, Rochester, H-Town, the brother Cobb down in Guatemala. So shouts out to them. Shouts out to the brothers in the ABQ, Mashaba the Cool, Aiman holding it down out there. And 12 Tribes Worldwide, man. And like I said, welcome to the show, y'all. Sword of Truth presents, sponsored by ISBHBK, Bible Talk, y'all. Let me get into it. So let's go to Psalms, y'all, like we always do. Like we always do at this time. So Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So good or bad, happy or sad, man, the Most High brought you to it. He's going to bring you through it, definitely, y'all. Got to keep your head up, man. No matter what you're going through, the Most High is definitely going to bring you out on the other side better than you were before. And that is a for certain, for sure. You can take that to the bank. You can put stock in that. So let me go ahead and jump right into the news, y'all. Which article do I want to get first? Let's get this one first, y'all. Mm-hmm.
don't know if you heard of, y'all heard about Ashley Judd passing over the not Ashley Judd. What was the woman's name? It was her mother. I forget her mother's name. Because I'm thinking of the actress Ashley Judd. She played in the movie, I think it was Get Out, and a couple other movies she played in. But her mother died, the country singer. Was sad to hear about that. She took her life. And yeah, y'all, she was Esau. And I know y'all like shocked, like, ooh, cousin Pa, why are you sad to hear about Esau dying? I mean, man, even the Most High said he has no pleasure in death, man. And it's sad when anybody dies, I mean, in my opinion, because they're leaving behind loved ones, you know. And that's just how I feel about the whole situation with death, man. But we know the scriptures also says, whoever perish being innocent. So there are no innocent victims. But I did want to touch on it a little bit, man, because mental illness is a plague, man, that not just hits the nations. It hits us as well, man. And a lot of our people, we self-medicate by popping the pills, whether it be prescription pills or the street drugs. Or are we smoking the icky, man, which niggas think is so spiritual, man. I can't stand our people, man. I seen an interview over the weekend with Ricky Williams, ex-running back. He played for several teams, man. He was a beast, man, and I definitely was a fan. The brother could run that pill, man. He really could. But he was on there talking about, and he was on All the Smoke, man. I be checking All the Smoke out, y'all. I don't like the fact them niggas be smoking all that weed and they doing what they do, man. I just like some of the interviews, man. They're entertaining and very informative. A lot of stuff you don't know about certain athletes. But anyway, they had him on, and he was talking about his experience in the league. And when he started medicating, is what they call it, talking about how relaxed he was and the recovery time and this and that. And y'all probably heard this before, that the medicinal properties in marijuana, ooh-wee, icky, it speeds up the recovery time for athletes and their bodies, in which their bodies do go through a beating. But my argument has always been, you know, they make another form of it called CBD, right? Right? Which doesn't give you the hallucinating effects, because we know that all things were made for its proper use. It tells us that in the scriptures. So that particular plant does have medicinal purposes, not the psychedelic effects, not the hallucinating effects of it, but the medicinal purposes that get your body healthy, heals your body, calms your nerves, and all of that good stuff. The Most High did make it, but for medicinal purposes. Keyword, medicinal, medicine. He never intended for you to dry it out, roll it up, smoke it, and have a bunch of smoke in your lungs. In your lung, we know your lungs weren't designed to handle that smoke. That's why you cough and you choke. Niggas be dying about the cough of a lung and still smoking on a blunt. Come on, man. Our people are foolish and insane as hell. Your lungs were never designed to inhale smoke. Your lungs were designed to inhale the air. That's what they were designed for. They called the Amazon the lungs of the earth. That's what they call the Amazon in the jungle, which is, they're destroying, by the way. It's deteriorating. That's why we got all the pollution going on. But that's exactly why. Because the lungs, and they say it's the lungs of the earth because all of the greenery that is there, all the vegetation. And if you don't know this, when you have a lot of vegetation, you have a lot of oxygen in the air that's released from the vegetation. This is why when you go into our inner cities and the hoods, the barrios and all of that, you don't see a lot of trees. That's purposely done, y'all. And you notice in the hoods and the barrios, this is where you have all the respiratory issues such as asthma, such as whooping cough and things of that nature, because you don't have a lot of trees there. Trees let off oxygen. This is why, you know, they had Esau, man, they're so, satanic, treacherous, evil, wicked, despicable, because they do this purposely. That was the whole setup of those projects. A project is just that. It's a project. They're trying to see, okay, is this going to work to kill off these niggas? And that's why they put us in these concrete jungles with no vegetation. And this is why the asthma rate shoots up through the roof when you go to these communities, because there's no oxygen. There's a lack of oxygen from a lack of trees, from a lack of vegetation. So they know this. But our lungs, getting back to my point, our lungs were designed to take in fresh air, fresh oxygen, okay? Not damn smoke. And the reason the Amazon is so polluted is from all the pollutants all over the globe. And this is the killing part. And this is what Esau gets me at. They destroy the globe, but then they try to come back like the savior. And I always say this, they want to be the hero and the villain all in the same movie, man. We know that's idiotic. That's, if you got any sense, you can see right through that, man. So they destroy the earth, but now they want to clean it up. This is why you get all these new electric vehicles coming on the market. This is why you got the saying, go green, and all this other nonsense, man, because they're trying to clean up their mess now. So what was I at, man? I'm just babbling. The interview with Ricky Waters there about him smoking weed. Yeah, it was a good interview. Gave a lot of insight. But for those brothers and sisters that are out self-medicating with this plant, get the CBD oil, man. It does the same thing. My daughter is on CBD oil. And for y'all that know me, y'all know my daughter's special needs. She has a brain ailment. But it calms the seizures, slows the seizures down. It does work, man. Stop messing your lungs up. Get the CBD oil if you need it. If you need it. And by all means, come back to the book, man, because the scriptures tell us that it wasn't leaf or mortified plastic that heals. It's just but the word of the Most High, man. That's what really heals, why it's called the Comforter. Anyway, let me get off the soapbox with the about the icky. And let me get this one right here. Let me make sure I got the right article, y'all. Yeah, it's the right one. So this is one. This article is from Cali Matters, all right? And I don't know if y'all heard about this. It's from April 13th, too, by the way. This has been going on for quite some time. So the headline reads, California's Reparations Task Force Explained. So California has a reparation task force, man. And if you haven't been hearing about it, it's been a hot button issue or hot topic for about the last couple of years, depending on who's trying to get in office for some type of political position. They're just using this as leverage so black folks will go vote for them. Anyway, in the state of California, here we go. When California's, matter of fact, let me get the summary. It says a task force is helping state officials examine how African Americans have been harmed by slavery and systemic racism and weighing that how the state should respond. What reparations should be there. And this is the thing that gets me to when they use this word systemic racism. It's pretty much an oxymoron because racism is systemic, point blank, period. And I went over this before in several of my classes. Racism is an institution. It's a structure. So that makes it a system. So to say it's systemic racism is, like I said, it's an oxymoron because racism itself is a system within itself that does what? It stops certain people from doing things that ordinary people should have the right to do. Like in their constipation, they said the right to liberty, happiness, the right to what? Happiness, pursuit of happiness. The right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness, right? But we know that constipation or constitution wasn't written for us. But they say that, but that's what racism is. It stops you from just living your life, man, to where you can't get a job, you can't get a good housing, you can't shop at good stores for good food, things of that nature. It just makes your way of life very difficult and oppressing, all right? But anyway, that's my take on systemic racism because, like I said, it's oxymoron. Racism is a system. All right, going on with the article. It says, when California's first in the nation task force of reparations voted to restrict who would be eligible for reparations to African-American descent of enslaved people, it sparked much debate and many questions about what would happen next. The vote was continuous and emotional. I'm sorry, contentious and emotional, and the task force was split 5-4. The majority took a strict interpretation of AB 3121, the bill that established the task force and gave special consideration to direct descendants of enslaved people. So what they're debating over, what they were debating over, y'all, is who should actually get reparations? Should it be every black person in California? And this is just talking, dealing with the state of California now, not California, y'all, not the nation as a whole, okay? Not the United States as a whole, just the state of California. So they were debating who should get it. Should it be all black people in California, or should it be only the black people in California that could actually trace their lineage back to slavery? Ain't that something, y'all? And then you got black folks on this committee going back and forth debating each other. This is the stupidest mess I've ever heard. I'm going to get to why it is in just a second. Other members argue that reparations should be open to all 2.6 million black Californians who, through the years, likely have faced systemic racism such as police brutality, bank redlining, neighborhood divestments, and school or housing segregation. Task force members, in preparation for a recommendation to the legislature, are discussing how reparations might take shape, who the state should compensate, and who, and what redress process might occur. The state's progress on this issue might inform reparations decisions elsewhere, as the U.S. House of Representatives is poised to vote on a federal measure and similar program in other cities and states are under discussion or taking hold. Here are a few things to know about reparations. California's task force in the state's history with slavery. What does this vote mean? The task force voted in March to approve a motion that defines an eligible person as an individual being an African-American descendant of a chattel enslaved person or the descendant of a free black person living in the U.S. prior to the end of the 19th century. So they basically want you to prove that your ancestors were involved in slavery, man. And they know damn well that we have a hard time trying to do that because we don't have access to the records. And then people be harping on this DNA, 23andMe, or whatever the crap it is. And everybody that's done this mess will tell you the same thing. Yeah, they say I'm from some tribe in Africa, but they don't know which one. They can't pinpoint anything. You know, and I tell people, even my mother did this mess. And I told her, I said, Mama Dukes, you didn't have to do that. All you had to do was pick up some history books and start studying. And that's really all we gotta do, y'all. These books were left here for a reason. And I always say this, man, people be like, oh, history, snoozer, I'm bored, I'm going to sleep. But that's why you don't know nothing about your damn heritage. That's why you're a dummy. That's why you're paying people to tell you about your heritage and where you come from, when all you had to do was do your own research. Stop being lazy. Anyway, it says this means that black people who migrated to the U.S. after the end of the 19th century would not be eligible. So if you came to the States after the 19th century, you ain't getting no check. The specifics of how black people might prove their lineage has yet to be determined. I'm going to read that part again. The specifics of how black people might prove their lineage has yet to be determined. You don't say. Yet to be determined by y'all, we know who we are. If you call yourself a Hebrew Israelite, hopefully you know your history from whatever tribe you're from. All right, reading on, it says, task force members heard testimony from genealogists who discussed various methods, including using census records, DNA, and ancestry tests. Ding, ding, ding. I just told y'all about that. That's some damn nonsense, man. And look, man, if you're going to get this stuff done, bless your heart. Like they say, like the old folks used to say back in the day, when people be doing stuff out of character and stuff that just don't make no sense, bless her heart. Oh, bless his heart. Because you don't know no better, man. But what you really need to do is you really need to find a school, find somebody teaching this Bible and showing you in the Bible who you are, as well as bringing out historical references that match up with the Bible, because the Bible, first and foremost, is a history book. So shame on you, and you need this right here.
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
That's what you need, man, even though you don't know no better. Come on, man. There's too many of us on the internet right now. And I'm talking about Hebrew Israelites that's giving you your history for free. Click of a button. You're going to go and pay somebody to lie to you and not be precise in where you come from. So dealing with this whole thing of reparations, because you heard what they said, that this decision in California could be nationwide. As far as all black people or black people that can trace their lineage back prior to the 19th century, getting reparations. So let me show y'all why this is off. So let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28. Of course, we're going there, right? Because this all people really need. Black and brown people just need to get Deuteronomy 28 to show them who they are in the Bible. And then build from there, because that's what we do. We show them that chapter. First, you'll get a color class to let you know that the people in the Bible is black. And then you'll get Deuteronomy chapter 28 that further proves that. So let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. And it reads, "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again," meaning the second time. Because the first time we went into Egypt, we walked in, right? Remember? Joseph, and it tells you 70 souls. And when it says 70 souls, it's talking about his lineage, but this whole other story. Walked into Egypt, right? It says again, though, meaning a second time around. And you look at Egypt, and this is very important. Look on the map, look on the globe. I know y'all hate geography and history, but do it anyway. And you'll see that Egypt is in walking distance to the land of Canaan, which is now present-day Israel, even though the wrong people are in the land. But it's in walking distance, y'all. But listen to what this says. Let me read it again from the top. "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again." And Egypt represents bondage. It means captivity. Exodus 20 and 1 verse, Exodus chapter 20 verse 1 and 2 tells you that. But the point I want to get to says, "Bring you to Egypt again with ships." So being brought into bondage again, a second time, with ships. Now, remember the first time we walked, because it's walking distance. So we know it's not talking about from the land of Canaan or the land of Israel going back into captivity in the land of Egypt. It's had to be talking about some place where there's some water where you're going to need a ship. This is the only place you need a ship is if there's some water involved, right? It says, "With ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again," meaning we weren't going to see our homeland again. Moses is telling us this. "And there," meaning there where you are, where you're going to be scattered, because verse 64 tells us we're going to be scattered throughout all nations. So verse 68, it says, "And there ye shall be sold." Wherever we were scattered, we're going to be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, slave men and slave women. That happened here. In the U.S., it happened down in Central and South America and all over the globe. There was what they call channel slavery, what they call the transatlantic slave trade. It was three different ports that did different things. One shipped in people, one shipped in goods, and the other shipped in money, and it just went like that. It was the triangular slave trade. So it was a lot of slavery going on. So we're scattered throughout the four parts or the four parts of the globe, the four parts of the earth, like the scripture says. Now listen to this part. And no man shall buy you. Now, the word buy means to redeem. Like, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day, for us old enough to remember. Remember those bottles that used to be collected? Those Coke bottles and stuff? I remember way back in the day, my granny, my uncles, my aunties used to collect those bottles, and they would give you like 25 cents for the bottles. It was recycling. But it said to be redeemed for 25 cents. Meaning what? It was going to be purchased for 25 cents. Purchased, and the word redeem also means saved. The same as the word buy. It means to redeem or to save. Okay? But it says no man shall buy you or no man shall save you. And this is what I want to get to dealing with reparations. Ain't no man going to save us. Because many men have tried it. You remember going so far back as to Nat Turner and his slave rebellion. He tried to save us. And that's for us brothers here in the States. But what about Toussaint Overture down in Haiti? He tried the same thing, right? And I forget the other brother's name. But it's been several slave revolts, right? And then it brings us all the way up to Marcus Garvey with the Go Back to Africa movement and all of that. And he knew he was an Israelite, by the way. He was part of the Commandment Keepers. They took that offline here recently. But years back, they had him listed as one of the original Commandment Keepers. But anyway, he tried it. He failed. And then bringing it up to speed, who else? MLK, who niggas still glorify to this day, who said out of his own mouth that he integrated his people into a burning house. He understood that what he did was off. He understood that. But niggas still running around glorifying him and praising him for what he did. And then you go back and you talk to any old school person, any person that's lived in the 70s, 60s, and beyond, they'll tell you, man, integration was the worst thing happening to us. After integration, we just went down. And we did. Historical records prove it. Statistics prove it. Kwasi Zob did a brilliant class covering it. So he didn't save us. Malcolm, for as much as I admire Malcolm X's discipline, his speaking ability, his zeal and the way he was moving, and the love for his people, he still was off because he believed in the false doctrine, which was Islam. That's for the Muslims. That's for Ishmael's sons. That's for his people, not us. But he didn't save us. Jesse, Al, Barak, who ain't even of your stock, Israel. He's a Hamite. But they didn't save us. The scriptures hold true. The Bible's real. It tells in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 68, no man is going to save us. So why the hell are you talking about some reparations? Huh? And the word reparation means to restore. If they give us money, and I said this before, y'all better go back and watch Dave Chappelle. There's some truth in some of them shows he did. Y'all remember the show he did on reparations when he said, man, if they gave, he didn't say it, but he just portrayed it. You remember you had niggas that bought whole cigarette trucks full of cigarettes? Niggas that was pulling up in malt liquor trucks. What was the dude? I forgot his name. Was it Ashley Larry? Yeah, Ashley Larry. I'm rich, bitch. He had a cigarette truck. Then Chappelle did the spoof when he said malt liquor sales have went through the roof. He said Cadillac and Kentucky Fried Chicken stock went up. Y'all remember that, right? Even though he was joking and being facetious, he wasn't. What you think would happen if niggas got reparations? The exact same thing, man. Damn, Jordan sales would go up. They go up every, when the income tax come out? Every April. Every March, every February. Every February, March, Jordan sales go up. liquor sales go up, clothing sales go up. Why? Because we all spending that money. What the hell you think will happen if we got reparations, got some money? We give it right back to our oppressor, right back to the people that kidnapped us in the first place. So that's counterproductive, isn't it? And that's just one aspect, but let me get a biblical aspect of that. Let's get Acts chapter 1, and what verse I want to go to? Verse 6. Now listen to this. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So listen to what he's saying. Will you at this time restore? Once again, y'all can look the definition up for reparation. It means to restore. So they're asking Christ right here, hey, when are we going to get our reparation? When are we going to be restored back to our glory? And what is our glory? The kingdom, power, rulership, and authority over the earth. Us not dying no more, not crying no more, not being subject to police brutality, to discrimination, to redlining, to unfair housing, to all the things that's mentioned in this article. This is what it's talking about right here in Acts chapter 1, reparations. I'm going to read it again. It says, when they therefore will come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So at this time, since we see you, and this is when Christ came back, right before he left, y'all, in the spirit, and went back to sit on the right-hand side with the Father, the disciples asked him, Israel asked him, hey, are we getting our reparations now? Listen to what he says, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You hear what he just told them? He's like, man, you don't need to know that. He's like, it ain't time for you to know that. This is what he told them. So he's letting us know, and they're letting us know by reading the scripture, who's going to really bring the reparations? Who's going to really restore our people? It's going to be Yahweh Shai, y'all. Are y'all not seeing this? That's why his name is called what? He who saves, right? Yahweh Shai. Oh, y'all know him as Jesus Christ, the Savior, the anointed Savior. He's going to save us out of this place. Now let's get Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to prove it. But I'm going to beat the dead horse. Acts chapter 61. I spent too much time on this, but it's all good. Acts chapter 61 and verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now remember, he says, preach good tidings. Good tidings is also known as good news, right? And what is good news? It's the gospel. So this is the real gospel right here. We're reading it, and I'm going to go to another scripture to prove it. But it says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Listen to this. To bind up the brokenhearted. Who's the brokenhearted, y'all? Whose heart is broke more than any other people across the nation? Who suffered through having their land stolen? And I'm talking about Texas, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, California, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico. Who is brokenhearted by that and now called illegal on their own damn land? Reading on. It says, to proclaim liberty. Liberty means what? The right to what the Constitution say, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty to be able to do what? Own your own crops, own your own animals, own your own water and not have to pay for it. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who got kidnapped and brought over here? We did. And I ain't just talking about so-called black folks. I'm talking about the so-called indigenous people of America. Do some research. So-called Native Americans were slaves. They took boat rides, too. They shipped them over to Europe and then shipped some of them back. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open and the opening of the prison. Come on, y'all. Do the statistics. Do we even have to do it? How many black and brown and Native American people are in prison right now? How many of your relatives? Everybody got one. It's at least one in the family. To them that are bound, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, all that mourn. Who's mourning right now? We just had a damn Black Lives Matter. What is that but mourning? Now, I told you that was the gospel, right? And I said I was going to prove it. Let's get Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Now, listen to this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Christ reading in the temple. He's reading from the book of Elijah. I'm sorry. Not the book of Elijah, the book of Isaiah. It's mixing me up because in the New Testament, the Greek says Esaias, which means Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had appointed me to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the same thing that's mentioned in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, good tidings, which means good news. I wish I had some bombs to drop right now. So this is the gospel. People run up, do you believe in the gospel? Damn right I do. Waiting on it right now. But what is the gospel? Isaiah chapter 61. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is reparations, y'all. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Who is this talking about but us? We the ones that's bruised. Listen to this. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister, to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, listen to this, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, why would he say this day is the scripture fulfilled? Because this is what Christ was doing. Go back, y'all. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. He was healing the blind. He was curing people with mental illnesses, getting those spirits out of them. Remember what he was doing. He was setting free the captives. Captives from what? From the scribes and the Pharisees' doctrine. Them damn hypocrites. Them niggas. This is what he was doing then, and this is what he's going to come back to do here in the near future. This is reparations. And I know I mentioned Dave Chappelle and the skit he did just dealing with the tribe of Judah, so-called blacks. But you Issachar rights. If they gave y'all money, too, for the slavery and the lynching of y'all people because y'all were enslaved and got lynched, too, y'all give it back to them, too. And y'all do the same thing every income tax day. Y'all buying Jordans, too, and gold. All those foreign nationalists just came up here right before Easter. They call them foreign nationalists. I'm talking about the people from Mexico shopping at North Star Mall and Ingram Park Mall and South Park Mall, just spending money, balling out of control. Our people too, and they already doing it, giving the money back to our captives. But the true reparations is us being took out of this condition, y'all. Ain't no damn money. It says in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 2, you shall be redeemed or saved without money. Your money and your credit score ain't going to get you into the kingdom. Don't y'all fall for this reparation mess, man. Now, don't get me wrong. If they offer you a check, take it. But that ain't going to save us, y'all. All it's going to do is have to pay some bills. Because that's all we ever do when we get a lump sum of money. Do what? Pay some bills. We might buy a little outfit, buy the kids some stuff, get wifey some gear, buy a necklace, some earrings or something. But that ain't going to get us out of captivity. We still got to wake up and do what? Go to work so we can pay more bills. Anyway, man, moving on. Let me get the next story. Man, I ain't trying to spend that much time, y'all. What's the next one? Here we go. Back in the news, y'all. Abortion. This article is from Political. It says the Supreme Court has voted to overturn abortion rights draft, opinion shows. So this story was leaked, they say, by Political, because it was rumors at first, because I read the article last night and I look on it today, and they said that it's official, that it was rumored, that the article I read last night said it was rumored that they was going to strike down Roe versus Wade. But now they're going to actually do it. So it says the Supreme Court has voted to strike down the landmark Roe versus Wade decision, according to an initial draft majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, circulated inside the court and obtained by Political. The draft opinion is a full-throated, unflinching repudiation of the 1973 decision, which guaranteed federal constitutional protection of abortion rights. Man, I didn't trip off that at first. What's significant about the year 1973? It was the same year they said that homosexuality was no longer a mental illness. Same year, y'all. I didn't even put that together. Anyway, it says a decision which guaranteed federal constitutional protections of abortion rights, and a subsequent 1992 decision, Planned Parenthood versus Cassidy, that largely maintained the right. Roe was erroneously wrong from the start, Alito writes. And this is a quote. He said it was wrong, erroneously. He says, we hold that Roe and Cassidy must be overruled, he writes in the document. Labeled as the opinion of the court, it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. So what he's saying is they're going to do it state by state. Oh, and this is official, y'all, because on the site they got the draft listed. They have it right here. Supreme Court of the United States, Thomas E. Dobbs, State Health Officer of the Mississippi Department of Health, Petitioners versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Let me see what this is. Yeah, Justice Alito delivered the opinion of the court. Yeah, they got it, man. They finna put this into action. But what he's saying is he's going to put the power into the hands of the state. Because you remember here in Texas, Greg Abbott had banned abortions. And it got overturned. Then he got overturned again. So and they were talking about it. Women are, like I said, complaining because they can't murder their children in peace. Ugh, sick ass people. Anyway, excuse my French, y'all. So they got to go to different states now. But I heard that Oklahoma is considering a ban now. Oklahoma is the bi-state to Texas. Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, and I forgot the other state. But Oklahoma is considering a ban because this is what women in Texas have been doing. They've been traveling, going to other states to murder their kids. But anyway, Judge Alito, this Supreme Court justice, is issuing that ban. And you know they have ulterior motives because y'all remember, what was it, last month? They just got the black lady. She got elected to be a Supreme Court judge. So this is planned. And the reason they doing this, and I said this before, man, is because their numbers are dwindling, y'all. White folks' numbers are dwindling. And they understand that they're going to be the majority and they're going to lose their power, man. They don't want to just come out and say it. I mean, of course, they just can't come out and say that. But that's why they're banning abortion. It's for the benefit of their own people. Even though we are the most heavily participants in murdering our children, sadly to say. But they're doing this for their legacy to continue. But let's read Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. And I read this before. I'm going to read it again. It says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And that's what we're witnessing right now, y'all. Their house is divided. It's not going to stand. It's breaking up because you have certain Edomites, the elites, that understand that they're going to be wiped out in a couple of generations. And they're trying to hold on to their power because if they're wiped out, they lose their power. They lose their power, they lose their kingdom. Hold on for a second. Let me take a sip of this. They understand this. So they're divided with those Edomites who don't really understand or don't care about the integration of their species, of their race. So I'm going to couple this with Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40. And it reads, and the fourth kingdom, this last kingdom, talking about America, shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Like this whole chapter, man, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7 go hand in hand, but it's talking about four kingdoms, and it describes them as beasts. But Daniel chapter 7 lets us know that these beasts are kingdoms because the Bible is written allegorically. So the four kingdoms, the first kingdom is the Babylonian kingdom. Then you have the Persian Mede kingdom. And then you have the Greek kingdom under Alexander the Great. And then you have the Romans under their Caesars. And then the spinoff to the Romans is the Anglo-Saxon American Empire, or the Greco, let me say it more correctly, the Greco-Roman American Empire is actually what it is. So this is what it's talking about here in Daniel, the second chapter. And like I said, Daniel chapter 7 goes along with this. So reading on, it says, and whereas thou saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Ho, 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 ho. The Bible holds true. I hope y'all see this. This kingdom is divided. It is split. It says, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. What's the strength of the iron? It's the American military. It's why America still holds its power. It says, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and we know iron is strong, but clay is very weak. It says, and as the toes of the teeth were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, listen to this, and partly broken. Why is it going to be partly strong and partly broken? Because the morals of this place. The army keeps it strong. Its economy was keeping it strong, but that's dwindling. And the partly broken is its morals. America has no morals, y'all. Even in its laws, even in its constitution, there are no moral laws. The beautiful thing about the Most High is the Most High and his five sets of laws, he has moral laws that tells you what? Hey, you can't sleep with your brother's wife. Hey, if you're a man, you can't ram your rod up another man's backside. That's immoral. If you're a woman, you can't be licking and munching on her carpet. That's immoral. The Most High has moral laws, but this country don't have no moral laws. This is why this country's weak. Because you go back and you look at the other kingdoms besides the Greeks and the Romans, but the other kingdoms like the Persian Mede Empire, they had a higher moral standard than Esau. They did. Even the Babylonians had a higher moral standard than Esau had. I mean, they were savages and they were pagans, and they did a whole bunch of immoral stuff, but they still had some more. They had more morals than Esau. Because remember, Esau is the most basest man on the planet. There's nothing he won't eat. There's nothing he won't drink. There's nothing he won't try, man. This is why you got, and I've seen that the previews of that show, something about surviving naked, naked and alone or something, man. It was all Edomites from the commercial I saw. And then remember that show, the dude was living with the wolves, eating raw meat with the wolves? Come on, man. Anyway, that's that. Let's move on to this one. I got it. What, 4 minutes left? Which one did I want to get? This one right here. So I don't know if y'all heard about this, man, but I just heard that this was possible, and I did not know. So this is from U.S. birth certificates. Is that the site? Yep. So U.S. birth certificates article, transgender birth certificates by state. Listen to this. Can I change the gender marker on my birth certificate? The majority of the 50 states allow you to change your birth certificate gender if you are transitioning. I did not know this, that you could actually change the sex on your birth certificate. It says, depending on the state you were born in, you will either be issued a new birth certificate in your preferred gender, or your current birth certificate will be amended with the correct sex designation to reflect your change of gender. Some flexibility is already granted to gender-neutral individuals in specific states. The following states recognize intersex individuals with a third gender X option: California, Colorado, New Jersey, New York, New York City, Oregon, Washington, District of Columbia. It says, however, the third gender option does not apply in the case of trans individuals. Wherefore, updating gender markers. Let me see. I didn't want to get that part. Where's the part I wanted to get? Changing birth certificates. So the part I wanted to get, y'all, was talking about how about 50 states, man, they allow you to change your birth certificate. I did not know this, man. This is crazy. So that means that, man, brothers, y'all better be checking scrotum sacks. Y'all better be tapping with the back of your hand when you meet somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's crazy, man. This is nuts. They could really hide who they are. These letter people are something else, man. Let me get Romans chapter 1. Yeah, let me get Romans chapter 1. I don't know why I wrote that down right there. That's wrong. So let's get Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Because what's the truth? The truth is the original birth certificate. What you were born as. The truth goes on that. Male, female. You know what's so interesting about this whole Transformer stuff? So I'm a personal trainer, y'all, if you didn't know. So I've studied the diet that you would give a client. And the diet that you give a client differs on their sex. So men's protein intake is two palm-sized portions of protein, meat, some of my meat. Well, a woman is one palm-sized portion, and that doesn't change. That's across the board. Even when you deal with certain sports, there's certain things that the men do in those sports that women don't do, so on and so forth. But my point is this. How do you change that? How do you change that? You can't change the nutritional needs of a person just because you say, I'm this particular sex. that still don't change your nutritional needs. So if you're a man posing as a woman, you still got to get your nutrition in, or you're going to be what? Malnourished. Which just goes back to how you can't change nature. So I'm going to read it again, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creator more than the creature more than the creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. You can't change nature, y'all. I don't care how much y'all try, Esau. Y'all ain't going to change nature. Anyway, y'all, I had another article I wanted to do, so I guess I got to do it next week. Because I want to definitely get into this class and hopefully finish it up today, y'all. Hopefully finish up. So I'm transitioning over to the class. And if it's your first time tuning in, I usually do about an hour of news. Now I'm running like 2 minutes over today. I usually do about an hour of the news. And then I transition into my class, which is entitled, What Happens After You Die? And this is part seven. So it's a seven-part series that I've done. If you just tuning in to part seven, don't even do it, y'all. You're doing yourself a disservice. Go back and start at part one. All right, so we were in Luke chapter 3 last week. And I'm covering the portion of the class, people in the Bible that have been reincarnated, right? So we're going over examples of people in the scriptures that have been reincarnated to prove that reincarnation does, in fact, exist. And it's all throughout the scriptures. So we will get a couple people today. So let's get Luke chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 22. And it reads, it says, let's start at verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, or Yahushua, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, now listen to this part, y'all. This is the point I want to get to. Thou art my beloved son. In thee I am well pleased. So who is Yahushua? Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God, right? Got to remember that. Reading on, verse 23. And Jesus, or Yahushua himself, began to be about 30 years of age. Now, what's interesting, just a side note, y'all. So we have an account of Yahushua when he was 12 years old, right? When he traveled with his mom and his dad for Passover during the tax season. So he was 12, and then it jumps to when he was 30 years of age. So that's about what, 12 years of unaccounted actions of Yahushua? But we got enough. No, I'm sorry, I shorted it. 18 years of unaccounted action, unaccounted things that he did in his life. This is a side note. So verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And we're going down Christ's lineage. Now I'm going to skip through some of this. It says, verse 24, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Easley, which was the son of Nage, which was the son of Ma'ath, which was the son of Manathias, which was the son of Shimei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Resa, which was the son of Jerubbaal, which was the son of Salah, Thael, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Abdi, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmodam, which was the son of Ur. Now, what we're going over is the lineage of Christ, and it's going backwards, y'all, okay? Now, I'm going to jump to verse 32, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Nahshon, which was the son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Eram, or Esram, which was the son of Perez, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac. Y'all see this, right? Which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nachor, which was the son of Saruch, which was the son of Ragul, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Salah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Shem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malaleel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. Listen to this. Which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So Adam was the son of God. But who else was the son of God, or referred to as the son of God? Let me read it for you, Casey. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son." Y'all see this? So this is talking about Yahweh Shai being what? The beloved Son, or the Son of God. And it also tells us in the same chapter, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Man, I hope y'all see this. So Adam also was referred to who? He was referred to as the son of God. So Adam was Christ, or Yahweh Shai. Let me prove it. Let's get Matthew now, chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3. And verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So once again, this is the Most High speaking and saying, matter of fact, let me read verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So yes, Yahweh Shai Christ is the Son of God, but Christ was also Adam, who was also referred to as who? The Son of God in Luke chapter 3, right? Now let's go to 2 Ezra. We're going to keep proving this. All the pieces together, y'all. So we're going to 2 Ezra chapter 3. Second Ezra chapter 3, and what verse I want to start at? Verse 5. And gave it a body unto Adam without soul, which was the workmanship of thy hands, and did breathe into him the breath of life, and he was made living, and he was made living before thee. Now the breath of life was the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments that he gave to Adam. Verse 6, and thou leadest him into paradise, which with thy right hand had planted. Paradise was the Garden of Eden, y'all. It says, before ever the earth came forward. Verse 7, and unto him thou gave it commandment to love thy way. So Adam got a commandment. Adam got the commandments. And we know through Genesis chapter 4 and 1, that the atom is a bunch of people collectively, right? But we're talking about the individual atom right here as far as his reincarnation goes. Now it says, which he transgressed, and immediately thou appointed death in him and in his generations, of whom came nations, tribes, people, kindreds, out of number. Verse 8. I got 7. Now let's jump to verse 21. This is the part I want to get to. And yet took it thou not away from them a wicked heart, that thy law might bring forth fruit in them. Now listen to this. Now I'm in verse 21. For the first Adam, bearing a wicked heart, transgressed. What does it mean, the first Adam? If it's saying the first Adam, then obviously it has to be another Adam. Who the hell is it talking about? I'm going to read it again, verse 21. For the first Adam, bearing a wicked heart, transgressed and was overcome. And so be all they that are born of him. So when it talks about the first Adam, so it's letting you know it's got to be another Adam. What other Adam is it? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I told you, we're going to prove everything. Christ was Adam, y'all. But I ain't going to just say it. I'm going to prove it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start at verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Y'all see this, right? And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So it just proves what we just read in 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 21. I'm going to read it again. For the first Adam bearing a wicked heart. So it mentions the first Adam here in 2 Ezra. Now let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So who was the last Adam? Let's read on. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, meaning what? The first Adam was not spiritual. He was carnal. Listen to this. But that which is natural, meaning carnal, and afterwards, so after the first Adam, that which is spiritual. So the second Adam was a spiritual man, but the first Adam wasn't. He was carnal. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly, meaning he's natural, he's carnal. The second man, or the second Adam, because it's talking about the first man who was Adam, then it says the second man is the Lord. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. I hope everybody see that. I hope everybody sees that. When it talks about that first Adam, it's talking about Yahweh Shai, his spirit. When it talks about the second Adam, it's talking about the same spirit but in a different body, y'all. This is reincarnation. Now, let's get Revelations now, chapter 1. Trip off of this. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7. Christ is going to tell you himself plainly. Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. It's talking about Yahweh Shai when he comes back, the clouds being those so-called UFOs. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, the Romans, the Edomites, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, listen to this. And the words are in red. This is Christ speaking. I am Alpha. What is Alpha? It's the beginning. He's letting you know, I'm the beginning. Read. And Omega, the end. In case you didn't know, he dumbs it down. Next part of the precept. The beginning and the ending. Whoa. Are y'all seeing this? He says that he was the beginning. Who was in the beginning? Adam. He says, and the end. Who's the end? Who's the end? Who's bringing an end of sin? Yahweh Shah is bringing the end of sin, the end of breaking the law. He's bringing that. I hope everybody's seeing this. He is the beginning and the end. Now listen to this. Said the Lord. Who's the Lord? Yahweh Shah. Which, now listen to this, which is, because he is, he says, well, two or three are gathered, I'm the midst thereof. So he's still hanging out. He's still around, which is and which was when? Back during the time of Adam. And when he came as Yahweh Shai. He says, and which is to come, the Almighty. He's coming back. He's letting you know he's one and the same. He's letting you know he was Adam. He's letting you know he was Christ. That spirit's coming back. All right, let's get Matthew chapter 26 now. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38, and it reads, then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Carry ye here and watch with me. Now, this is the night Christ was captured, apprehended, and eventually led to his death. But this is before it happened. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So Christ knew he was about to die. He wanted the disciples to stay there with him, you know, for support. Like any man that was going to die would want his loved ones to be around him for support, right, to keep him strong. Verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. He's the Son of God, right? Now listen to this. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He like, Father, if it be possible, could I not go through this? This is what he's asking. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. He's like, but if I got to go through it, I'll go through it. Because this is what you want. This is your will. Hope everybody's seeing this. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and finding them asleep and said unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Like, dude, you couldn't stay with me just for an hour, man, to give me some mental support, some emotional support. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What's Christ talking about, man? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How did he know this? Because he was a man, first and foremost. He was in the flesh, and he knew the pulls that we all have in the flesh. But he also knew it from what? His experience as Adam. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, why was Christ saying this to Yahweh Shah? Why was he saying, man, I don't want to go through this, but if I have to, it's your will. And remember, Christ was innocent, y'all. He didn't break no law. It tells you he was perfect. So why is he here accepting punishment if he did nothing wrong? A lot of people don't get this. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's get the answer to this. Why is Christ accepting punishment if he didn't do anything wrong? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. But he that do it wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done. And there is no respect of person. So obviously Christ had to do something wrong, but not as Christ. Not as Christ. Who did he do something wrong as? He did something wrong as Adam, and he had to pay for the wrong for which he had done. I'm going to read this again in 2 Ezra chapter 3 and verse
7. And unto him, unto Adam, thou gave it commandment to love thy way, which he transgressed. He broke the law. So Adam broke the law, and in turn, it says, and immediately thou appointed death in him and in his generation, of whom came nations, tribes, and peoples, and kindreds out of number. So in Adam breaking the commandment, he passed that down to all of us, y'all. Verse 21, it says, for the first Adam, bearing a wicked heart, transgressed and was overcome. And so be all they that are born of him. This is why he had to be punished for what he did as Adam, y'all. He had to fix that. He had to fix it. This is why this scripture right here is so important. Let's get 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. Wait a minute. That's 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 1 Peter. Stay with me, y'all. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yahawashi, or Jesus Christ. What is grace, y'all? It's something we don't deserve. We know that. But it's also a time for you to get yourself together, time for you to get right. So the Most High gives us this grace in reincarnation. When you come back, that spirit is given the opportunity to make things right, to make things right. Now, you don't have any knowledge of it because it says there's no remembrance of the past. The only one that had the remembrance was Yahweh Shai, and he's the Son of God, so rightly so. And I'm going to prove that to you also. But everybody gets the opportunity, gets the grace period. We're in grace right now, y'all. We're getting the opportunity to make right what we did in this life or the previous life. Now, let's get St. John 1 and 17. Let me hurry up. St. John 1 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yahweh Shai. Why did Christ give us grace, give us the opportunity? Why did the Most High give us that? Because he also gave it to Christ. He gave Christ the opportunity to fix his wrong. That's why when he came back, he wasn't carnal. Remember, it says the first man, Adam, he was natural. He was carnal. He was about his flesh. It says, howbeit the second man was spiritual, or a quickening spirit. This is why Christ said, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profited nothing. How did he know this? From his experience as Adam and his experience when he walked the earth as Yahweh Shai. This is why he was perfect. Now let's get Hebrews chapter 2. Some people try to dispute, man, saying that they be on that virgin birth nonsense, trying to say that Christ was born of a spirit. If he's born of a spirit, then how was he able to go through all the things he went through as a man in the flesh? It's impossible. So Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It's talking about Yahweh Shai, Christ. Made like his brethren mean what? He was a human. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To make, listen to this, reconciliation for the sins of the people. Reconciliation means to make a friend again, to bring in harmony again. You know what Christ did when he died for our sins? He gave us the opportunity to be friends with the Most High again, y'all. He gave us the opportunity to be in harmony with the Most High again. Verse 18, for in that he himself had suffered being tempted. As who? He was tempted as Adam. He was tempted also as Yahweh Shai, as Christ.
that he learned his lesson as Yahweh Shai from when he was on the earth as Adam. He is able to succor or comfort them that are tempted. Y'all see that? How is he able to comfort us? Through the scriptures, because the scriptures call the comforter, right? And we know that Christ is the word. He is the scriptures. He's given us that comfort. Now let's get St. John chapter 9. And verse 13. St. John chapter 9 and verse 13. And it reads. Wait a minute. That ain't it. I'm sorry. St. John chapter 9 verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This is showing us what? That the disciples knew about reincarnation. They knew about reincarnation. That's why they asked, who did this sin? Was it this man or was it his parents? Because they knew what? That you come back. You come back. The spirits come back. Now let's get Isaiah chapter 53. They also knew that what? You have to pay for your sins. They knew this. They were unaware because they asked about who sinned, him or his parents, because we know that we all are responsible for our own sins. I got that a couple weeks back in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. But let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. But they knew about reincarnation, and they knew you had to be punished for things that you did in the previous life. So Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to start at verse 1. We're going to jump around a little bit, y'all. Hold on for a second, y'all. Let me see something. Nah, don't worry about it. Where we at? Come on, man. All right, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. We're going to jump. It says, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Because nobody believed that report. That's why it says, who believed the report? About Yahweh Shai being the Messiah. Verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So it's talking about Yahweh Shai. So it says that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and he was stricken and afflicted. Right? Now, let's jump to verse 10. Listen to this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise who? To bruise Yahweh Shai, to bruise Christ. It says he had put him to grief. He, the Most High, put Christ to grief. Remember him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? That was grief. Knowing he's about to die in the morning, that was grief. It says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The Most High made Yahweh Shai's spirit an offering for sin, or his body an offering for sin. It says, he, meaning the Most High, shall see his seed. His seed is who? Yahweh Shai. He shall prolong his days, because he's going to live forever. It says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And listen to this. He shall see of the travail of his soul. The Most High gonna see the travail of Yahweh Shai's soul. And shall be satisfied. The Most High satisfied that Christ had travail. He's satisfied that Christ took that beating. He's satisfied. Why? Because he that done wrong shall receive for which he's wrong he did, and there's no respect of person. And we're going to get to why else he's pleased. Read it on. It says, by his knowledge shall my righteousness, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. So the fact that Christ was righteous, he justified us, y'all. For he shall bear their iniquities. He bared our sins. He bared our sins because he taught us our sins. Adam, y'all. And he had to pay for that. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. How was he numbered with the transgressors? He definitely wasn't a transgressor. Meaning you're a breaker of the law. You're a sin. You're a sinner. We know that sin is the transgression of the law. How was Christ, Yahushua, numbered as a transgressor when we know he didn't sin? Not as Christ. It had to be talking about what? Previous lives. Him as Adam. It says, and he bare the sin of many and made intersection for the transgressor. The intersection is he's the go-in-between between us and the Most High. That's why when we pray in his name, because he's the go-in-between, y'all. So it's talking about Christ being punished for the things that he did as Adam. I hope everybody sees this. Now, let's get Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11, because I said it was another reason that the Most High was happy to punish his son, Yahawashah. Let's get the other reason. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Meaning what? When you get punished, don't be getting all emotional and getting all bent out of shape. You're getting punished because it's something you did, or the Most High wants you to go through something. You're getting chastised. Verse 12. Listen to this. This is why the Most High was happy that Yahawashah took that beating. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected. So what was Christ getting beat and put to death? What was all that about? Correction for the mistakes that he made as Adam, y'all. No different than the Most High corrects us. It says, even as a father, the son in whom he delighted, the Most High was happy to correct his son. And he was happy his son did what? He took it on the cheek, man. He went up there and manned up and he took it. Because remember, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, your will, not mine. He went through it. He knew he was getting corrected for what he did in previous lives. I'm going to let the cat out the bag now. Previous lives. Not just as Adam, but as someone else. We're going to find out. Let's get it, y'all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Hey, good boy, is that you out? Shoot me a text if that's you, if you tune in right now. I see you on the switchboard. I think that's you. So we're going to Matthew chapter 1, y'all. We're going to start in verse 1. And this mic, I might run a little over. I ain't no mic to it. I am. I'm going over, y'all. So if you get the 90-second mark and she cuts me off or y'all can't hear, y'all should be able to go back and get it from the archives. All right, y'all. So we're in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. And it reads, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, or Yahushua. Now listen to this. the son of David. A lot of people read over this, but it says that Yahweh Shai, or Jesus Christ, was the son of David. So let's get that. Let's get 1 Chronicles chapter 28. So we're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And we're going to start at verse 4. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me. Wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. We might have to back up a little bit. We're going to skip a little bit. Let's get 28 and 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course. And the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren." So this is talking about David. Now we're going to jump down to verse 3. It says, "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." So this is why David did not build the temple, y'all. He had too much blood on his hands. The Most High was like, "Nope, you're not going to be able to do it." Verse 4, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he had chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord had given me many sons, he had chosen Solomon." So David did have many sons, but it says the Most High chose Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. So Solomon was chosen. Now listen to this, verse 6. "And he said unto me, Solomon my son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. I will be his father." I'm going to read this again. "And he," the Most High, "said unto me," David, "Solomon, thy son," Solomon, your son, "he shall build my house and my courts." Now, this is the Most High speaking. "For I have chosen him to be my son." I hope everybody's seeing this. Who was the Lord's, who was the Most High son? Solomon, y'all. "And I will be his father." But it gets deeper. Hold on, but wait. "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever." Question, did Solomon's kingdom last forever? No, it did not. So who is he talking about right here? He's talking about Christ, y'all. Now listen to this. "If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." That was verse what? Verse 7. All right. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Oh, it gets deeper. We're going to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 10. I hope everybody saw that. So when it said in Matthew that Yahweh Shai was the son of David, who's the son of David? It's Solomon. So it's letting you know what spirit was in David's son Solomon. It was the spirit of Yahweh Shai, because remember, the beginning of that chapter in Matthew chapter 1 says the genealogy of Christ, right? So we're going to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. The further proof is that Christ was not just Adam, Christ was also Solomon. 2 Samuel 7 verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. So this is talking about the end of days. Neither shall the children of the wicked of the wickedness afflict them any more as before time. So I ain't gonna even touch that. Verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies, also the Lord shall it be that he will make thee an house. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy father. So he's talking to David right here. I will set up thy seed, because David had many sons, but the Most High only dealt with one, which was Solomon. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. But for how long? Because remember, we read in Chronicles, it said forever. And we know Solomon's kingdom didn't last forever. But whose kingdom is going to last forever? Yahushua. Verse 13. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Listen to this. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Did Solomon commit iniquity? Absolutely, he committed iniquity. But did Solomon get chastised with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men? Let's find out. So let's get 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's find out. 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women. So let me read on. Together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So did Solomon sin? We see very clearly right here, Solomon did sin. Y'all see this, right? Now we're going to jump down to verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord. I'm sorry, from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So the Most High appeared unto Solomon twice to tell him his displeasure in him dealing with these other nations and following their gods, because that was the issue. He built groves for them and started worshiping their gods. Y'all can go back and read this chapter on your own. Verse 10. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So he sinned, right? And remember, the Most High said if Solomon sinned, if he broke the law, he was going to chastise him with the rod of men and with the stripes of men. Y'all remember that, right? Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. So what was Solomon's punishment? What happened to Solomon for worshiping other gods? He didn't get whipped with the rod of men. He didn't get pierced with the rod. He didn't get stripes from men. That didn't happen to him. The Most High took the kingdom from him. That was his punishment. But who did get hit with the rod of men? who did get in the rod of men that he got pierced, right, with that rod? And who did get those stripes? That's Yahweh Shai. That's Christ, y'all. He got that, which proves, like he said, that he was going to be his son, and if he messed up, he was going to chastise him. I hope everybody is seeing this, y'all. Let's get Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. Hope y'all are with me. I hope I ain't lost nobody. I know this is making people's heads spin to find this information out. And your cup might runneth over, but stay with me, y'all. If you got to go back and listen, or if you got any questions concerning what we're going over right now, hit me up, 314-482-9110. So we're in, where we at, Luke? Man, I lost my spot. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Here we go. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. I hope y'all see this, man, because this has double-fold meaning. So Christ was from the lineage of David, which is from the tribe of Judah, but the spirit of Christ was in Solomon. That's why it says he was the son of David. I hope y'all seeing this, man. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Solomon didn't do that. Christ did that. And of his kingdom there should be no end. Now let's shoot over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 35. Now, I ain't going to read all of this, y'all, but here is Christ again going back and forth with the scribes. And verse 35 says, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? So he's asking them this question. How y'all say that I'm the son of David? Verse 36. For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord, meaning the Most High, said to my Lord, Yahweh Shai, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. So Christ is asking these scribes who kept trying to catch Christ up in these loaded questions. He's giving them loaded questions that he know they don't have the answer to. He like, how do y'all say that I'm the son of David when David himself called me Lord? So how am I his son? Verse 37. David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? If David called me Lord, then how am I his son? It says, and the common people heard him gladly. What is Yahweh Shai talking about? Let's get Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, this is what Christ just quoted. The Lord, meaning the Most High, said unto my Lord Christ, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. This is the scripture he's quoting, that which the scribes knew. But he's asking them, man, if I'm the son of David, then why is David calling me Lord? Christ is letting them know that he was the son of David in spirit, but not in flesh. He was the same spirit. The same spirit that was in Solomon was in him. That's what he was letting them know, but it was over their head. They couldn't understand it. Now let's get Mark chapter 14 in verse 61. And it reads, but he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, wast thou the Christ, the son of the blessed? Meaning the son of the most high. Listen to what he said, verse 62. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the son of man sitting on the right hand of power. Meaning Yahweh, because he is the power. And coming in the clouds of heaven. So he's like, yeah, I am the son of God. And you're going to see me sitting on the right-hand side of God. But where do we read that at also? Let's go back to Psalms 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And it's the same scripture Christ quoted in Mark chapter 12, y'all. I hope everybody is seeing this. And it ain't over nobody's head, man. That's why the scripture says precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. All says through like precept, I get understanding, man. So let's get some more understanding from this book. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1 now, y'all. We're going to read it with some understanding this time, and then we're going to get another scripture that's attached to it, another bunch of precepts that's attached to it. So it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Who's the son of David? Solomon. So Christ is letting us know that he was who? He was Solomon. And it also says, the son of Abraham. Woo! So what does that mean? Pastor Paul, are you saying that Yahweh Shai, that spirit, was also Isaac? Because that's the son of Abraham, right? No, I ain't saying that. The Bible's saying that. Genesis chapter 22. You know, that's why the scriptures tell us in Nehemiah 8:8, it says they read in the book of the Lord distinctly and gave the sense of it. Distinctly means carefully, y'all. When we're reading, we have to slow down. We be getting excited. I know y'all heard me get excited. I got to slow myself down because you can't believe what you're reading and what you're seeing. That be the case sometimes. And other times, we're just trying to hurry up and read for distance so we can get done with a chapter. But when you do that, you do yourself a disservice because you'll be reading right over stuff that be so-called deep, but it'd be so simple. So let's get Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. Genesis 22 and 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the what? But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac is asking his father Abraham, where is the lamb? Because he's supposed to offer up a lamb, right? Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So who was the lamb? The lamb was Isaac. I hope everybody's seeing this. The sacrificial lamb was Isaac. Now, you go on reading the story. Abraham didn't kill his kid. He didn't sacrifice his kid. The Most High had sent an animal to take his place. But who else was known as the lamb? Let's get St. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible has a lot of symbolism in it, y'all. Like I said, in the rereading, just for distance, we'll read right over it. St. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So what was Christ also known as? The Lamb of God. I hope everybody is seeing this. Get Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And what verse did I want? Verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. It's talking about Yahusha or Christ. And shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This Lamb, once again, is talking about Yahusha, y'all. That's the 92nd mark, but I'm going to keep going. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22 now, and we're going to read verse 2. So we're going back, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. Like I said, y'all, it might cut y'all off, but y'all go back, get the archives, get the rest of it. Or if it allows y'all to stay on and listen, please do so. Genesis 22 and verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now, it says take your only son, Isaac, right? But y'all, if y'all remember, Abraham had many sons. He had Ishmael, and watch this right here. Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. So he had 7 sons, including Isaac, and the gang we just named. I'm sorry, 8 sons, including Isaac and Ishmael. So Abraham had 8 sons. So what the hell is it talking about right here in Genesis 22 when it says, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So who it says thy only son, why does it say thy only son? Because he was the chosen one. Isaac was the chosen one. So hope everybody's seeing this. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19 to prove he was the chosen one. Genesis 17, 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant, or my contract, with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Everlasting contract, y'all. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. He was the chosen seed, y'all. I hope everybody's seeing this. So regardless of, matter of fact, let me get that. So Isaac was the chosen seed. We know, we read right here in Genesis 17, Ishmael wasn't. Let's find out who else wasn't. Because he had other kids, right? Now watch this, Genesis chapter 25, it says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So So he gave all his possessions to Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived, eastward, unto the east country. So the other sons weren't the chosen seed, but Isaac was the chosen seed. Does this sound familiar, y'all? Who else was the chosen seed? Who else was the lamb? It's Yahweh Shai. It's Yahweh Shai. I hope everybody's seeing this, man. Now watch this. Let's get St. John chapter 10. And remember, matter of fact, I ain't going to blow it. Let me get it. St. John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered him, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, save ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world. Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God." So Christ is telling them, why are y'all saying I'm lying or I'm blaspheming? Because I said that I am the Son of God. And he even went so far as to say, ain't it mentioned in your book that ye are gods? Now watch this. Psalms 82 and 6 is the verse that he's mentioning. Let's go. Let's get Psalms chapter 82. And we're going to read verse 6. Listen to this. "I said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." So this is what Christ is saying. Why are you mad at me? Because I said I'm the Son of God when y'all are also sons of God. So why y'all talking about I'm lying when I say I'm the Son of God? Christ is and was the Son of God, but he was the chosen Son of God. No different than Adam was what? The chosen Son of God. No different than Isaac was the chosen seed that the Most High chose to deal with. I hope everybody's seeing this. And let's go back to St. John. Oh, we got that. All right, so let's go to Luke now. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. And it reads, "But the angel said unto him," wait a minute, did I jump? Wait a minute, y'all. Hold on. I did jump. So, y'all, we got Christ. Let's get another example of reincarnation in the scriptures. So now let's deal with John the Baptist. So let's get Matthew before we get Luke. Let's get Matthew first. Correction notes, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, y'all. We're going to start at verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come?" So John sent disciples to Christ and they asked him, "Man, are you the one that was supposed to come? Or do we look for another? Or we got the wrong dude?" Verse 4. "Yahweh Shah," Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and shew John again those things which ye do hear and see." So John the Baptist also had disciples. I don't know if y'all knew that. But Christ said, "Man, y'all go back to John the Baptist and tell him the stuff y'all just see me do and the stuff y'all hear." Verse 5. "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are risen up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jehoshaphat began to say unto the multitude concerning John. Concerning who? John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Because remember, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness, y'all. And he wore camel's hair, a camel hair girdle. Another thing was probably itchy, too. So he's talking about John the Baptist. Now watch this, verse 9. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He said that this was written about John the Baptist. Now watch this. Let's go to Malachi. We're going to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. So this is talking about John the Baptist. I hope everybody sees this. I'm going to read it again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Reading on. Hold up, wait a minute. Now let's go back to Malachi, and we're going to be in chapter 3 this time. Yeah, we was in chapter 3 before. No, wait a minute. I want chapter 4. Chapter 4 this time, and verse 1. For behold, the day is coming that shall, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be subdued. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel, which the statutes and judgments. Now watch this. This is the part I want to answer. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he said, before this happens, he's going to send Elijah. And Elijah is going to teach us the commandments of Moses, chapter 7, verse 4. And he's going to turn the minds of the fathers to the children and vice versa. I hope everybody's seeing that. Now watch this. Let's get Luke chapter 1 now. Now we want Luke. We're going to start at verse 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. And it reads, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. This is John the Baptist's daddy, y'all. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mama, which is Christ's mother's cousin, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now watch this. And he shall go before him, meaning before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias, which means Elijah, y'all. I'm going to let that just soak in right there. It says he's going in the spirit. What spirit? The spirit of Elijah. That spirit came back as John. Now watch this. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We just read the exact same thing in Malachi chapter 4. I hope everybody is seeing this. Now let's get Matthew chapter 17 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Because remember, he was beheaded, right? Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Meaning, man, I'm going to go through the same fate. Verse 13. Now listen to this. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. I hope everybody is seeing this. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read that one again. I think I left a part out. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to pick up in verse 8. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? Talking about John the Baptist, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. Now listen to this. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. He that had an ear to hear, let him hear. So Yahweh Shai had to tell them, if you will receive it. John the Baptist was Elijah. John the Baptist came back in the spirit. I'm sorry, the spirit of Elijah came back in John the Baptist, y'all. Elijah or Elias, same person, had the spirit. I'm sorry, John the Baptist of Elias or Elijah in him, y'all. That was the same exact spirit. So those are some examples of reincarnation in the spirit. And that is concluding my seven-part series, y'all, on reincarnation. I really hope and pray that everybody got some understanding out of my seven-part series. Please go back and start at part one and listen to all of them together, man, and piece them together so you can get some edification, some clarity. I hope I wasn't too jumbled and mixed up. I hope y'all got some understanding out of the class about reincarnation. Reincarnation is a really extensive topic that you just can't cover thoroughly, efficiently, effectively in just one sitting, man. Because every time I go over this class, I get something new out of it, and I see some things that I didn't see previously in the class. But thank y'all at the Water, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, y'all, tell a friend to please tune in to Tuzzle Pod Tuesdays every Tuesday. So thanks for tuning in, y'all, to Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast. And with that, Israel, I'm going to say shalom. Y'all have a good day.